Welcome along to the Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show. This is Mass, and I'm here with Jim.
Hello, how we doing?
Fine, mate. We tried to get Chris to get on, but he was rinsing his canes or something, and tried to get Martin Stevenson on as well, because this is an Evercade episode, but he couldn't be bothered, and tried to get everybody else on the team on, but they said something about the A team and the B team, and it's just you and me, isn't it?
It is. Maybe they forgot.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
So today is a special episode. Somebody will be tuning in on Twitch, perhaps, because we're trying to stream this, actually. It's the second of our Evercade episodes in which we try to record a video companion. So most of you guys will be listening to this in podcast audio form, as usual, I guess. But some of you can go and have a look on the YouTube channel where this will be archived, or some of you may even be watching it live right now. So it's a bit of a setup, because this is the second cartridge, and the second cartridge, the Namco Museum Collection 1 cartridge, has some copyright thing on it, so you can't actually play it in the Versus, you have to play it on the handheld. So we're streaming this from the original first generation Evercade handheld through all sorts of devices, and hopefully you can hear both me and Jim, even though we're sitting many miles apart, aren't we? So
we are, and not on video either, which is unusual.
No, not on video. Normally we can see each other when we chat here. That's an added bonus for me, of course. But
Mads is probably naked.
Yes, most
using
definitely.
The opportunity. Yeah.
Always, mate. But how are you? What have you been up to?
I'm good, thanks, mate. I am good. What have I been up to? I've taken over on the High Score channel on the Discord, and thought, well, as we've got the Spectrum coming out this month, and we've got Crash Live as well in a couple of weeks as we record this, I thought, why not play a specky game? And an absolute classic game was Jetpack. So I thought, I've not played it for a while. I played it briefly when it came out with the Rare Replay.
So you can hear the excuses coming already.
Right. Well, I played it obviously back in the day, and I played it on Rare Replay, and I thought, well, this is pretty tough. Nah, it got broken in about 5 days, I think.
So somebody, I think it was Mr. Cook, just posted a score that was nigh on a million. It was so close.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, it's now turned into a bit of an end. I think there's talk of a 1 million point endurance test.
I wonder how many hours that would take.
I dread to think.
Yeah.
I dread to think. Because, I mean, you could in theory, and this didn't even cross my mind when I picked it, you could in theory sit on level one and just score.
No timer on the levels?
There's no timer on the levels, no. There's no there's no like big bad that comes in to kill you or anything like that. You could just sit there on level one and rack your points up for, until you need a Wii.
Yeah, well, great choice for the first game there then. That's good going, James.
So, well, at the moment we've still got Jetpack. I'm debating whether, because I've never played Lunar Jetman, which was obviously the sequel. I've never played it. I remember I had a hooky copy on my Spectrum, and it was after. So I had Jetpack and then Lunar Jetman, but they were both on the same side of the cassette. And I could never, at the time, I was only a kid. I was like 8 years old. And I could never figure out how to get the next game on the cassette to load. I didn't realise at the time, there was nothing in the magazines, obviously, Saturn knew what to do. And I didn't realise you have to load the first game, then stop it, and then load the second game, you know? Yep. So I remember as a kid, I had these cassettes from like Boots and stuff with loads of games on there. And I only ever could play the first game on the cassette because that was the only game I knew how to load.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah, Lunar Jetman, I've never played it because I could never figure out how to load the cassette.
Oh, God. So, didn't you have like a tracker counter on the cassette tape player so you can figure out where to fast forward to and load the next game?
Yeah, I did. There was a little sort of spinning counter on
the
cassette deck.
I mean, I had these neatly written pieces of paper where we'd say 0, that's bubble, 32, that would be pit stop, and so on. And I'd just be fast forwarding to that.
Yeah. So yeah, it remains unplayed because of that.
Oh, yeah.
I never realised that's what the little cassette counter for. I was,
you know. Oh God, Jim. Oh yeah, okay. So myself, what have I been up to? I have been doing nothing but actually playing Outer Wilds, because we're playing that on playthrough at the minute. And
yes,
like you, Jim, I am loving it. What a game. What a game. But more on that later on when we record.
Yeah, me not so much.
Nah, I figured. It's a special kind of game, isn't it? It's for a special audience.
That's one word for it, yeah.
I think Chris and I, we're right there in the middle of that demographic. Yeah. So, yeah, great game. Really having fun with that. But apart from that, I haven't had any gaming time. So apart from that, and I've only been playing these Namco Collection titles, actually, that we're going to be diving into now.
Mm.
And a few of these, I don't know how to play. So we've decided you are the master, the games master this time. You'll be taking us through these games and giving us all the lore and telling us how to play Metal Marines so you can win every scenario and so on, right?
Yeah, see, even I do, yeah. I don't play RTS games, but it's too much reading.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll try.
There are some easier games to play here as well. So as the listeners who are on the video version can see, we have how many? We have 11 games on this cartridge. And we'll be starting out with Battle Cars, right?
We will, yeah. We'll go left to right from the dashboard.
Yeah.
Let me just pull up your live video, because Twitch is a little bit behind.
Yep.
So I'll be, otherwise I'll be chatting.
Of course.
Out of sync. There we go. Right, we are good to go.
So for the viewers, this interface actually is the interface of the handheld when it's connected via HDMI to a screen. So it doesn't look just like you'd be used to if you plugged it into... to a little handheld. It'll have another interface, but playing the games should be the exact same, of course. But let's have a look at Battle Cars. So Battle Cars is from 1993, and I'm just gonna read this little blurb because I love this, the Evercard cartridges. It's like a little museum. Whenever you pick a game, it says when it's released, and there's this little blurb of text saying something about the game, maybe the background story. And so I'm just gonna read a little bit of that as well. So Battle Cars says, the start of the 22nd century saw a true new world order. Survivors of the devastation lived in city-states. Jaded, we don't know what that devastation was, but oh well. Jaded by years of war and with sophisticated technology in hand, the people demanded a new sport for the new age, Battle Cars. As the most famous celebrities of their era, Battle Car drivers are heroes, daredevils, and showboats, all in one package. Their only rule, to win. Hop into the driver's seat of one of three different vehicles and take to the track across a variety of deadly zones. Take hairpin turns, blast away your opponents, and do whatever you have to in order to place first. Use your prize money to buy upgrades, because all the skill in the world won't save you if your tech falls behind. Good luck.
The rules are, there are no rules.
Exactly. So this is a driving game. This is going to be great, having me playing a driving game. Because everybody knows I'm very good at driving games, and I love them very much.
Yeah, so this is... I think if Chase HQ and F-Zero had a kid, it would probably look like Battle Cars, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I imagine.
Something
did you know, actually, I was having a little read. So this was developed by Malibu Interactive. Now, at this time... Well, probably a little bit before this, but there was loads of... companies trying their hand at games and stuff. And Malibu Interactive were the comics publishers, and they did the Men in Black series.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
So here we are. So I'm driving here, and so Battle Cars is, well, is what it says on the tin, really. You're driving a car, and then you can shoot these kind of mines. They're not seeking mines, but they're just... Well, following the road a bit, and the road has like these barriers so that the mines can bounce off, and so you can shoot into the side of the road and still hit somebody in front of you as well, right?
Mm.
And apart from that, it's just a hold down one button to speed up and then try to steer this this course while shooting the other guys. Pretty much it.
Yeah. So a Super Nintendo game. This one wasn't an arcade port a lot of the games on here are arcade ports.
Yeah.
But this, the, yeah, this was a Super Nintendo game.
Mm. Yeah, of course, all of these games, most games on here are arcade ports, and the versions on the cartridge are the mostly the NES version, and sometimes a Super Nintendo version, right?
Yeah, which was, I think at the time, when it came out initially, a lot of people were sort of a bit surprised, because I think people were expecting, or I know I was expecting arcade ports.
Yeah, me too. I remember I was slightly disappointed when this came out, and I found out that it wasn't actually the arcade games being played.
Mm.
But I think after that initial disappointment, you're just glad to be playing these games, and they're actually quite good ports here on the NES and SNES, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I was really surprised at just how, I mean, obviously they're really arcade games, but the NES is more than capable of playing them. But the ports are pretty solid. They're really good arcade ports. And I think having looked at the cartridge now, I think I appreciate that the not putting the arcade ports on there, obviously it forces you to go and play these ports that otherwise, especially like today, you don't generally go and look at ports. You go straight to the arcade game.
Yeah,
so it's nice to be sort of, if you like, to be pushed in the direction of the ports to have a look at them.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we normally go directly to MAME for something like this, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And obviously it leaves the door open should they ever decide to do a Namco cartridge with the arcade games.
Yeah.
It leaves the door open for that. Whereas if you do that first, you're probably not going to rush out and buy a collection of NES ports the Namco arcade port ROMs already.
But they have released actual arcade games these days.
They have
arcade cartridges. What are they? The purple ones or something like that?
They're the purple ones.
Yeah.
So this was it a batch of three or four cartridges on initial release, wasn't it?
Yeah, three, I think.
You could buy a bundle.
Yeah.
With like three or four cartridges, and this was one of them.
Yeah, I bought that bundle. That's why I have this game. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I mean the arcade games now. There's a good selection. I think there's around like 10, maybe 12.
Yeah.
Arcade cartridges.
And these days they've even released their little arcade cabinet, the Bartrop arcade cabinet.
Yes.
What's it called? The Arcade Alpha, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it looks pretty neat. I must say, I'm actually kind of tempted myself to see.
Do you know what?
I've got
the MAME cab, the stand up MAME cab behind me, but I've got no reason to own a bar top, but it's tempting.
Yeah.
Very tempting.
Such a nice little package, so.
It is, yeah. I will say, with this as well, after every race, you can upgrade, you can purchase upgrades for your car.
Yeah.
You change over to new weapons.
Yeah, so it's not just a racer, but I have to say the racing is very basic in this one, isn't it?
It is very basic. It's not quite as basic as another game that we'll cover this cartridge.
No.
But it kind of feels like you're not actually racing on this one, are you? You're just literally just trying to destroy cars.
Yes. I mean, there's no, you can't really tell whether you're in first, second, or third place, can you? You're just driving up these roads trying to kill whatever comes at you and hoping that by some magic you'll be first once you get there. But this is not for me, mate. I have to say, this game is not for me. This is something on a card like this, I'll play it for 5 minutes and say, okay, that's it. Not doing that again. But
I like the background. So there's some nice graphic, the nice graphical backgrounds there, but obviously the Mode 7 effects on the go.
Mm,
but I think, if you've got a Super Nintendo, then you're probably just going to play F-Zero.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is not for me, but I'm the wrong guy to be talking about driving games. Anyway, we should have Matt on here or Mark, because they like their driving games. We don't really, I don't really, at least. So.
I don't mind the drive. I like my driving games, but I kind of struggle with them going back to sort of 8 and 16-bit driving games, apart from really sort of Outrun, Chase HQ, and Battle Cars doesn't quite get to those levels, unfortunately.
Nah,
but the next game.
The next one is a good one, though.
It's an absolute banger.
So this is one I remember playing back in the day in the arcades and not understanding what was going on until quite some time had passed, but what a game. So Dig Duck is, of course, a classic Namco title. It's from 1985, I see, and I'll read the little blurb here. It says,
so this is this is 3 years after it came out in the arcade as well. So,
okay. So, of course, this is the NES port. It says, dig a little deeper in this classic 8-bit action game. In Dig Duck, you play as Taiso Hori, a hero who just wants to dig. drill through the ground and use your trusty inflator to defeat any enemies that stray into your path. Defeat all of the tenacious pukas and fire-breathing figars, whatever, to clear the stage and move on. Pump up the enemies to burst them, or drop rocks on their heads from above with a little precision digging. Earn some bonus points by collecting the vegetables that sometimes appear. Watch out for enemies that pass through the walls of your tunnels, and don't let the last one escape. Can you dig it? gotta love that. Now, Dig Dug is a weird little game, but so addictive, I find, once you get a hang of it. So I'm this little Smurf guy. In this version, he looks very much like a Smurf.
He does look like a Smurf,
And you need to open up the caves where these monsters are, harpoon them, and then inflate them. It seems so evil. I mean, it must hurt. It really must hurt to die like this. But you're this evil guy who shoots these little critters with a harpoon that has what do you call it? The thing you use to pump up your bicycle wheels.
Like a bicycle pump, isn't it?
Yeah, bicycle pump. And then you just fill them with air until they burst. It's got to be so painful. But that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. And a big tactic for this one, mate, if you can sort of get them all to follow you. So the enemies will, once you come off the first level, the enemies will start chasing you. And then you can create your tunnels, get them all into a tunnel, and you can then drop a rock
on them, yeah.
Drop a rock on them, and you'll get big score bonuses for that.
Yeah, true.
But unlike Dig Dug, they are pretty quick. Not Dig Dug, sorry. Mr. Do, they will sort of actively avoid the rocks from falling.
Yeah, they will.
So, yeah.
No, this is a game I've actually played a lot. I've never been good at, actually, but I've played a lot in the arcade because I found it so charming. But I've never actually gotten good at getting a high score or even thought about how to get a high score. I mean, back in the day, I never played arcade games for score. I just wanted to see how far I could get.
How long you could last.
Yeah, how long can I last on my money, so. Yeah, but this NES version is quite good, actually. The only problem is that this is a game that screams for a four-way stick, and playing it on a D-pad, slightly loose D-pad even on arcade, not Evercade like this, is actually kind of tough.
It is, yeah. I think this is one of the ones that definitely sort of highlights that some of the sponginess, shall we say, with the D-pad.
Yeah.
But in terms of the port of it's a really, I find it to be a really accurate port. I think colour-wise, it's a little bit, some of the colours are a little bit muted compared to the arcade.
Definitely.
But otherwise, it's all here, all the tunes are there. I found it a little bit tougher, actually, than the arcade game.
Yeah.
So the arcade, I can get around to sort of 40,000. Round 8, where is this? I found I was dying a lot sooner than that. But there's an interesting little story as well about this.
Okay.
So there's an arcade game called The Pit.
Yeah.
And I won't go into the full details here, but they were, so The Pit came out, so the story is that The Pit was being demonstrated at a trade show. And then there was some Japanese people that may or may not have seen The Pit in action. It's quite similar to Dig Dug.
Yeah.
And Dig Dug was released just before, it was about a month or so, I think, before The Pit came out.
Okay.
And so there was all sort of legal actions and stuff like that.
Ah, I never knew. That's funny because I always thought that this was such a unique game. I mean, a gameplay mechanic that I'd never seen before. This whole shooting the monster and blowing them up like this with a pump. But that was in The Pit as well, you say?
Yeah, it's a very, very similar game. And I suppose there's obviously elements of Boulder Dash, isn't there? With the
rocks falling down on the monsters and the way that you push through the sand or whatever it is that you're pushing through here when you're digging.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, by the way, to the listeners, the extra noise that's on this is, of course, you can hear me actually playing the game on the Evercade, so you'll have to live with that, the whole clicking and all that stuff. And even some extra sound, because Dean is just riding us right now, which also, thank you, Dean, makes extra noise that we can't really remove, because James is coming in through the audio on the PC, so... So there'll be a bit of extra noise this time around, but I'm thinking it'll be all good. Yeah, but Dig Dug is definitely one of the games that you, if you pick up this cartridge, you should just have a go on, because it is such a unique little game, and I kind of like the NES version here, so definitely worth a go.
It's one of those ones that I've always preferred to play Mr. Do, but having sunk more time into this, I think I might be leaning a bit more towards Dig Dug than Mr. Do now.
Yeah.
Having sunk a bit more time into this than I have in the past. So it's definitely one that I'm going to keep on my arcade cab on the favourites list and go back to.
Yeah, good choice, mate. Good choice.
Yeah.
So let's have a look at the next game.
What have we got next?
That'll be Galaxian.
Absolute classic. Yes. 1979 in the arcade. Again, a later release, obviously, on the NES. Wow. 84. A lot of these obviously came a good few years, a couple of years after their arcade release.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the NES port here from 84. I'm going to read the little blurb again. We are the Galaxians. Mission, destroy aliens. With those mysterious words, the world was introduced to Namco's legendary shoot-em-up Galaxian. With its vibrant graphics and challenging enemy patterns, the game took the arcades by storm. This 8-bit version of Galaxian brings the action home in style. Hop into the Galaxip. I guess that's the ship.
Yeah, Galaxip. Yeah,
the Galaxip. And try to shoot down all of the aliens in each stage. They won't just wait to be hit, so make sure you avoid their dive-bombing formations. The Galaxip can only have one shot on the screen at a time, making Galaxian a more challenging and strategic shoot-em-up than its successor, Galaga. Do you have what it takes to save the galaxy? So I'm a huge Galaga fan, actually. Played that so much. But I've never played Galaxian that much. But good game. Somebody have been playing Space Invaders, of course.
That's the big thing. So obviously when this come out, it's just after Space Invaders. And you've got to think, obviously, the original Space Invaders is there in black and white. The enemies are all staying there at the top of the screen and sort of working their way down slowly, whereas in this...
These are flying down, trying to get you, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's actually, in proper colour as well.
Yeah, yeah. This version is really good, actually, the NES one. But, that was bad. But it is actually a really good game. I love these kind of games. But Galaga just took it that one step further that I really liked.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like this, Galaga had already come out by the time that this has been ported to the NES. Galaga obviously didn't come to the NES until much later. But if you're playing, if you're buying this for your NES back in 1984, I'd imagine this is going to look pretty old compared to Galaga.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
And feel, maybe not look old, but it's definitely going to feel old compared to Galaga.
But I'm pretty sure I'd be happy buying this even in 84, because I mean these games, they just hold up for me at least so well.
I mean, well, when you think of the micro computer ports that I would have been playing, not in 84, much later, but I would have been playing them, and this is like miles ahead of that.
Indeed. Vibrant colors and great gameplay. I mean, trying to avoid the CC, what the video viewers can see now is that sometimes the dive bombing isn't just a single ship, but they do these formations and three or four come down at you, really shooting a lot and trying to trick you into going into their barrage of bullets there. But kind of good. I'm actually blown away by the fact that you say this was 78 in the arcade.
This is 79.
79 still. This is kind of advanced for that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Like I say, when you think, Space Invaders was black and white.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and with some movement patterns, they were so much simpler than this. So onto the third stage here. It's not much that changes between the stages for the first couple of levels, I find, but later on there's some more action going on, isn't there?
Yeah, and then obviously Gallagher brings in the bonus levels as
yes.
well.
But
again, it's another one of those. So many of the games on this cartridge, the sounds are just so iconic, aren't they? Things like Galaxian and Pac-Man, Xevious. You hear those tones, those sounds, and you know straight away what the game's from.
Yeah, true. Yeah, another game that you definitely should play if you pick up this cartridge, if you ask me at least.
Definitely.
Oh,
yeah.
I just fell victim to one of those waves where they fly down 3-4 at a time. Man. Yeah, yeah.
But again, it does get really tough when when they're dive bombing you formations of three.
Yeah, it does.
Really, really tricky to avoid them and the bullets that are coming down. There we go. We've got a formation of three coming down. There. Mm.
Ah, man. No, but great game that, I can spend so much time playing this, so I'll probably just stop right now, otherwise I'll spend far too much time here, but good game, Galaxian, definitely. Galaga, still my favorite of those old ones, Phoenix as well,
yes.
Really good, but
I think, I always get torn between Galaga and Galaga 88 for my favourites. I sort of I swing between the two.
Mm.
But I probably would pick Galaga 9 most of the time if I was pushed.
Yeah. So the next game, mate, that's a bit of a special one, isn't it?
Libble Rabble.
This, what can you tell me about this game as an arcade game? Was it ever released in the arcade?
It was. It was a Japanese arcade game.
Yeah, wasn't it?
I believe.
Was it a twin stick game? Because playing it feels really weird on a controller, and I've
it
never
does.
Actually played Little Rebel in the arcade.
And again, from Toru Iwatani, so Mr. Pac-Man.
Yeah. So I'll just read the little blurb here. It says, Little Rebel is a quirky and challenging game designed by Toru Iwatani, the creator of Pac-Man. In each stage, you need to harvest mushlins while avoiding enemies and other hazards. You control two characters, Little and Rebel, represented by red and blue arrows with a line strung between them. You need to wrap the line around poles and surround both mushlins and enemies with it. Close the loop to collect the mushlins and rack up some points. When you harvest all the mushlins on a stage, you'll move on to the next. Keep your eyes peeled for monsters who seek to cut your line. And whatever you do, don't let them touch Libble or Rabble. Collect all the secret bonus letters to enter a bonus stage where you can collect chests for extra points. Oh, and don't shuffle your feet, you're on a timer. Playing Libble Rabble can feel a bit like patting your head and rubbing your tummy at the same time, but once you get used to it, there's nothing else quite like it. See, I completely agree with that sentiment. It is like the whole rubbing your tummy and patting your head exercise. It's so hard to wrap your brain around this game.
It is.
But once you get it, it's actually quite good. But I'll show for the people listening, I'll try to do explain what's actually going on. So as I just read here, Libble and Rabble are a red and a blue arrow that you're controlling, and between those two arrows there's like a rubber band, and you have to get that rubber band around a lot of little pins on the screen, and kind of like playing kicks, you know, you color in one full area and collect it, and then that's filled out, right?
And I think, although, like you say, it was designed as a twin stick game in the arcade, I think it maps quite well. It maps quite well to the face buttons. But again, it highlights the issues with that D-pad, or it did for me anyway.
I actually didn't find I had a problem with that. I had a problem with my brain playing this. So
did you find you were forgetting which one you were controlling?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I did.
You're controlling the red one with the D-pad, and the blue one with your A, B, X, and Y. Like, you just play that's a D-pad as well. And then you have to kind of like... you have to kind of like collect or paint in the areas like in Kicks and avoid the monsters and figure all of this out on the same time as you're trying to control two things. I mean, in Kicks you only control one thing at the same time, right?
So you're trying to box in those monsters. And you'll get some massive... The more monsters you get in your box, the more you'll get some massive score bonuses.
Yeah, exactly.
As well as, obviously, getting the treasure chests.
But as you can see, if you're watching this, I am very, very bad at it. It's so, so hard. I mean, you're wrapping your brain around controlling both at the same time.
Yeah. Mm. The problems kick in, don't they, when you overlap. So when they did for me. So when your red arrow goes over to the right and your blue comes over to the left, you're done.
Yeah. Because
well, I was anyway. My brain just didn't seem to be able to deal with that. But if you can keep the red on the left and the blue on the right, then I think there's a really good fun game in here.
Yeah, me too. I'm just very bad at it. I mean, I kind of like it, but I'm really, really bad at it. It's but what you need to quickly see is that you don't always need to get Libble and Brabble together. You can use the edges of the screen as well, because otherwise it becomes far too hard to do. But sometimes, of course, you'll get them together and get their little lines to cross, and then you'll close that section. But yeah, it is a tough game to play, but something that's probably really, really funny if you really get good at it. But I never did.
Yeah, this is one I still haven't seen the arcade version of this.
No, me neither.
I still haven't played the arcade game of this, so I haven't got anything as the rest of them. I've got like a comparison, but this one, yeah. I never played the arcade version of this, so. But again, I love the little sprites. They've got loads of charm, haven't they? Even like the little mushrooms.
Yeah, really nice. This is a game I could see. I mean, it would be fun to have like a score challenge and then try to learn how to do this. But I'm pretty sure I would be horrible at it. I would be the worst of all of the scoring table.
Yeah. Is you just got to keep them arrows away from the enemies as well, haven't you? Because the enemies can go into your lines that you draw. That won't kill you. It'll just kill your line, if you like, your box.
It kind of, it's like they can
break your line.
Yeah, break it or pull it away from the pins so that you need to start over and boxing stuff in. That's what they do, right?
Yeah.
This is a game that's really hard to explain, so it's good there's a video version that somebody will be looking at, because this is very, very hard to explain in words what's actually going on.
And very, very different to Pac-Man, obviously, as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hugely.
I like this. I think there's a good game in here.
Yeah, I'd love to try this if it was like with two sticks. I think that would make my brain work a bit better than this.
Possibly, yeah.
Oh, there's a devil coming at me right now.
Devil's, I'm guessing that's the timer, timer.
But I thought I was doing pretty good. Apparently I wasn't. Oh, well.
And those little plants. So there's the little plants that come up as well.
Yeah.
You'd box them.
Mm, true.
But you can rack up some bonus points pretty quick if you can, the more enemies that you'll box up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm no good at this. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna go to the next game.
But I really like that. I think that's a really good game.
So the next game here is probably my favorite, actually. Probably my favorite on this cartridge. We played this a bit on the Discord channel as well. It's Mappy.
We did. So this was this was the high score challenge game, wasn't it, for this cartridge? Yeah.
Yeah. Great game. So do you know when was this released in the arcade?
So this was arcade in 1983.
83, okay.
And then the NES in 84. Yeah. And I should say as well, a lot of these games, if you don't own an Evercade and you want to check out the arcade get versions of the games, a lot of them are on the arcade archives. So if you've got like a Switch or a PlayStation,
you can
download the arcade ROMs under the arcade archives banner. And they've got everything in there. They've got like score modes, high score tables, and all that.
Nice. So Mappy here, it says Mappy is an 8-bit arcade. No, sorry, Mappy is an 8-bit action game about a brave police mouse named Mappy who needs to take back stolen treasures from a gang of cats called the Meowkies. Each stage is set in the mansion that the Meowkies use as a hideout, and Mappy needs to dodge the nasty cats as he recovers the loot scattered about. Bounce off trampolines to reach different floors, open doors to knock down and stun the Meowkies, and make use of any bells that happen to be hanging overhead to get the drop on the thieves. Maximize your points by seeking out the flashing treasures first, or grabbing the loot that the Miyuki's boss, Goro, is hiding behind. But make sure you don't get surrounded. Enjoy bonus stages where you have to try to pop all the balloons before the music stops. Stop the gang, get back those treasures, and maybe Mappy can get himself a promotion. So it actually says some valuable stuff here, like you can stun the cats, and you need to, if you want to maximize your points, pick up the treasures that are blinking. You pick them up in pairs, right? But
yeah, that's it. So this is another really good and really good arcade port. Again, similar to Dig Dug. Color palette's a little bit muted, but otherwise it's all here. The tunes, the bonus levels, everything's here.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you were saying, Mads, if you're collecting, if you're going for a score, which is kind of the thing with these arcade games, isn't it? Then the key is to collect the treasures, if you like it, in a certain order and in pairs, so your score will multiply as you go. If you're collecting, say, two, you collect both the radios, and then you collect, like, then you collect both the computers, then both the pictures, and then the safes, your score will multiply as you go.
Yep, exactly.
You'll also pick up big scores for opening, so some of the doors that are flashing, they will give you should call it like a little, almost like a little sound wave or something, isn't it? That will attack the cats, and that will go across the screen, and it will capture as many cats as it sort of finds in its path, just like that. If you're watching the video, and then your score will multiply depending on how many cats. But your cats will come back; they're not one and done for the level. Your cats will keep reoccurring, so you can rack up some pretty big points.
Yeah. Now, this is a great game, and maybe to just try to explain it to the listeners who aren't watching this, how do we explain Mappy? So it's a platformer, and you have it's scrolling from left to right, and you're going back and forth. You're scrolling what is like 3 or 4 screens worth of level, and you are this little mouse jumping on trampolines and then floating into different levels there are 4 levels of platforms, picking up the treasure, opening and closing the doors. And as Jim said, some doors are blinking or flashing, and that means you can use that little flash, the little energy that you can release from them to kill the cats. And then you just have to pick up all of the treasure on a level, and then you're on to the next one. And it's a great high score challenge game, because there are these different ways of maximizing your score, and the bonus rounds that you need to do just right in order to actually get the bonus round. I'm probably gonna miss it here, but in the bonus round and in the real game, actually, the trampolines, they get broken after a little while. So when you're jumping on the trampoline,
so if you press right, for example, or left, and you won't jump all the way up, you'll jump against the side of that trampoline. And the more times you bounce on the trampoline, you'll cause it to weaken and eventually break, like it just did there.
Yeah, exactly. But
yeah, the bonus levels are just long enough where you can collect every single balloon.
Yes.
If you kind of miss one on, like that first go, then you.
I mean, it's pretty much
that end bonus balloon that's worth the big points, you've got to move on.
If you miss just one jump, really. It's game over in these bonus levels. But I love that. I mean, I failed it here completely, but miserably. But I do know how to do it from when we had our score challenge.
I've just noticed what you're doing there. So that's a key thing. You get some invincibility frames as you're jumping off the trampoline. You can jump through the cats.
The cats can only hurt you when you're on the platforms, and you need to use that to your advantage, definitely.
I tell you what, let's go through, because like I say, this was the high score game for while we were playing the Namco Kart, and I've got the scores in front of me, so I'll quickly go through them while you're playing.
Yeah, do that, mate.
So the way that Discord collects the scores, it only gave like the top 9, and what I did, my score was so good, I put mine in at number 10 just to give everyone else a chance. So at number 9 was Dr. Groose with 69,900. Number 8 was Reese Wynn at 98,880. Retro Clarence, our own Chris, was 106,420.
It's probably cheating.
Probably. He probably had like, continues or something.
Yeah.
then Chris Atwell, 115,350. Heavy Metal Don, 124,350. King Trilo, 131,480. And then into the top three, Mr. Cook, 181,660. Plastic Man, 202,810. And then Rich Monster Hyde, absolute smashed it. 261,560 points. And shout out to Rich as well, because he was given a lot. I remember he was given lots of hints and tips in the Discord while we were playing this.
Yeah, so I'm going to beat the score right now, so don't
go for it.
Yeah.
I dread to think how long it took to rack up that score, because this game does get really tough really quick.
Oh yeah, it does.
Yeah. But this is another one that I've put in my favourites list now on the Arcade Cab. I never really sort of put much time into it.
No, me neither. Not before we played it for the High School Challenge, because, I mean, this is a great game. But it's one of those games, again, if you pick it up while you're just running through a list of games and you spend 2 minutes on it, you probably won't understand it. You just need to spend a little bit more time on it, and then you'll see what this is all about. And you'll see all the nice little details, gameplay details that are here. And appreciate.
And so on these later levels as well, you start getting the little bells in the it's like the roof of the house, isn't it, in the attic. And you can drop the bells onto the cats as well.
Yep. Yeah. Great game. This is, definitely my favorite on this cartridge, and one that I will be coming back to a lot. But let's move on, mate.
If anybody wants to, so there's a good interview with Yoshiro Kishimoto in the Untold History of Japanese Game Developers book. So in volume 2, there's an interview with him where he talks a little bit about the development of MAPI, loads of interviews in there. It's a really good book to pick up.
Yeah. Okay. Great job. So next game is MAPI Kids. And I mean, I think you and Chris actually finished this, didn't you?
I sank way too much time into this.
I have to ask.
Why did you do that? Well, this was one of those classic games where you start playing.
Classic?
And you... I mean classic, not as in the game was classic, but one of those classic examples. I do it to myself all the time where I start playing something and I get to a point where I've got to finish it. I don't know if that says something about me. Possibly.
I can understand that with good games, but this, let's have a look. I'll read a little bit about here. So the next generation of heroes is here. MAPI has long since settled down with his wife, so I guess he won and got all the treasure from the cats, the Meowkies, and had a pair of sons named Happy and Rappy. The boys have already grown up and are ready to get married, and MAPI introduces them to Picky. She's ready to get married, but she wants to make sure her potential husband isn't a slacker. Picky won't agree to the marriage until Happy or Rappy prove they can do their share. Only one mouse can win. They embark on an adventure to gather as much money as possible by running and jumping through a variety of environments, as you do. At the end of each level, you'll play one of an assortment of minigames where you can win extra lives, more money, and other bonuses. The player and other bonuses, the player to earn extra lives. Oh, well. I don't think they correct these, they read the proper proof reading of this.
some of the translations a little bit.
So visit the shop.
If it is translated, I don't know.
Yeah, not sure. Visit the shop to buy the things you'll need in order to prove to Picky that you're not going to be a bum partner. Best of luck, boys. That's horrible. So from 1989, this game.
It is, and it never got an English translation until it. An official English translation, I should say, until it was picked up for the Evercade cart, which I think is a good thing.
It's
good to see.
So
this is obviously, like, if you was on the world there, that think Super Mario World or Super Mario Brothers 3, I suppose.
Yeah, if a 5-year-old kid had drawn it. I mean, have a look at it. It looks horrible, and the jump is floating.
I was thinking of the map. So, that's it. So you're collecting the treasures, and then you've got this little kick move where you can kick the enemies. Yeah. You've also, if you jump, and then I think you hold up or you hold jump, you'll do like a little hover.
I think you jump and you hold jump again. You press jump, isn't that it? Yeah.
That's it. And you'll do a little hover. So that's key for making some of the jumps later on.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it. And then you jump on the mushroom, collect the coins. So the more money and treasure that you pick up through the level, you've got like a portfolio, if you like, that you have to build to impress your wife.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And so you basically, the more treasure and coins you collect through the level, you can buy something. So like you buy a car or you buy a thing for your garden or something like that. And the idea is to get the true ending, you have to unlock everything in your portfolio to impress your wife. So I completed the game and I was one off, and even using save states, I wasn't able to get the final, there was a final piece of I can't remember what it was, final piece like garden furniture or something, and I just couldn't, I kept failing the last bonus level. So I didn't, it took all of my treasure and money away, meaning that I had to pass the last bonus level, and yeah, even with save states I couldn't past the last bonus level. The bonus levels are horrific. So we'll talk about the bonus levels when you get to them. But the actual platforming, yeah, it's not A tier sort of Mario or even like the Disney.
It's not B tier either. We're down at the D or E tier, I guess. I mean, this is horrible. I mean, this is. I mean,
I think
wow.
there are a multitude
of Master System games that have better platforming than this. And
oh yeah, there are, including the ones with blue hedgehogs mats.
Even including the ones, yes, you're right. I mean, I'm ready to say it. Sonic is better than this. A lot better.
We've got that on record.
We do. No, this is absolute crap, if you ask me. But
it's nice and colourful, isn't it? So we've got a little bonus level here. So you've got to, again, just like in Mario Brothers 2, isn't it? And loads of other games that use this as well, where the little sort of slot machine where you line up your reels, your fruit machine reels, and then you get extra lives or whatever, depending on what it lands on. And that takes you into a bonus level. So one of the bonus levels, he'll tell you, you have to hold a flag up. You've got a white flag and a red flag, and he tells you what the opponent is going to do. And so you have to beat him basically by, I think, is it you match him? I think you match him.
Okay.
And what he'll do, but he'll say he's lying as well. So he'll tell you the truth. So red low, red high, there you are. And then you keep going. So you have to match him. And eventually, so he tells you what to do. And then eventually either you or your opponent will miss one. And that was it. That's how you win this one.
Okay.
So this is the one of the more doable bonus levels. We probably won't see it because I imagine you'll get frustrated and we'll move on to the next game before we get to another bonus level. But there's another one where you're on, I think you're fighting on like a trampoline or something like that, and you have to push him off a trampoline. And that is just ridiculous. That's so tough. So this is what I was talking about, where you buy something for your house depending on how much treasure you've got. So I don't think you've got enough to buy anything at the moment.
So this beautiful game is, you play some really, really naff platforming with a floaty jump and graphics that looks like a 4-year-old or 5-year-old painted it. And then you buy stuff for your little dollhouse and that's it.
89 though, man. So I don't...
There were so many better games around at this point in time.
There were, but I had a fun
people,
time.
People, stay away from this one. Do not play Mappy Kids.
It's on my list of completed games for this year. I sunk in far too... I must have taken me about 5 hours. And I was using save states as well, because obviously there's no like game save feature as such. So you have to save it Otherwise, you've got to play through the whole game in one sitting.
Yeah, of course, that's the beauty of the Evercade as well. You have nice support for save states. And, yeah. I mean, we need that these days for these old games, so that's good. Yeah. But I really don't understand. In a world where there are so many great gaming experiences to be had, why somebody would sit down right now and finish Magic Kids, mate? You'll have to explain that to me over a few beers later on, I think.
Yeah. I think it definitely says something about me and Chris that we both finished it.
yep. Yeah. So, moving on, the next game is one I do not understand how to play at all. So, I'm looking forward to you giving me the lowdown of how this actually works. Because
Jim does RTS.
Jim does RTS. So, the next one is Metal Marines, which is one of the SNES titles, isn't it? It's from 1993, and it is an RTS on the Sony.
I got a PC release as well, I was really reading.
Okay. Yeah, I never knew. So it says, Metal Marines is an isometric strategy game. Controlling one side of a conflict, you must wage a campaign across several islands to defeat Zorgoth.
Zorgoth,
yeah. And his lieutenants. Oversee the logistics of your base to ensure that there are the necessary assets to wage war and defend yourself. On each map, you must place 3 underground command bases. If all of these are destroyed, you're finished. Careful management of your limited resources is the key to success. Construct new buildings or upgrade existing facilities to take advantage of everything they have to offer. Build defenses, decoys, barracks that produce metal marines, and even ICBMs.
ICBMs.
Once you're ready, select your targets and give the order to attack. The point of your spear is your force of metal marines who will automatically attack nearby targets. Just don't forget to put up a defense, because while you're busy assaulting your enemy's base, they'll try to do the same to yours. Metal Marines is a deep game that can take a lot of time to learn how to play well. The game will offer advice to get you started, and it's not a bad idea to take it. With some time and patience, you'll soon be a master commander. It's safe to say I am no master commander, so whoever is watching this video, just bear with us.
So yeah. On that, we've got a couple of fellows from Primal Scientist and Chris O'Regan, Mr. Kropotkin.
Yep.
Yeah. Primal Scientist asked how long we've been on Twitch. The Retro Asylum's been on Twitch for ages, hasn't it?
We just never used it.
Yeah, but hopefully we'll look to use it a bit more now.
So I think we were talking before we started streaming here that my Twitch client, when I just logged in here, said that the last thing I had been streaming here was The Incredible Machine, which I think we played in the gaming club 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, it must have been about 2018, something like that.
Maybe that's the last time we streamed something here. Yeah.
Yeah,
but this is about to change, because if people like this format, we're gonna keep streaming these Evercade episodes.
Yeah, and that's a great game for something like Twitch, obviously, because you've got that feedback, haven't you? You can engage with people, and
it'd be great, something like that.
So RTS, I am not in any way, shape, or form an RTS guy. I think the only one that I've ever enjoyed was Galactic Battlegrounds, and that was basically Star Wars' version of Age of Empires, I think it is.
Yeah, I never played that. Okay.
Yeah. But,
yeah. So I do love a good RTS, but this one, I must admit, I haven't had the time to get properly acquainted with it, so I know very little about it. But
we'll give it a go. I tell you what, because there's a training mode, and I think the first level is just the training mode, but without the training wheels on, like explaining everything.
Yeah.
So shall we just go straight in for the first level, and I'll try and be your training wheels?
Sure. Let's try it.
How I understand it.
Normally, I would never play an RTS on a console, so this is weird for me. But yeah, no. So you say I want advice.
Or start. Go straight for start.
I'll say start.
I'll be your advice, Mads.
Okay. I feel very safe and in good hands.
So, I will say, I do like these little sort of anime style
looks good.
Intros.
So, there's communication from the enemy, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. You can just fast forward through all this. Basically just telling you you've been attacked.
Yep.
And if you just keep clicking through. This is on, this was on the virtual console, on the Wii as well. It got re-released on the Wii U. There's obviously like a big following for this.
So I'm just looking through the area here. So I have this.
So part of your base is already mapped out for you.
Yeah, it looks like.
And then down the left hand side on this menu, on one of the menus, you've got missiles, mechs that you can buy, anti-aircraft that you can buy. Your opponent, which is on the other side of the map, they will. Every so often, they'll just launch an attack wave at you.
Yep.
There's no sort of countdown for that or anything that I could see. You'll be there, sort of building your base, and the enemy will just launch an attack at you. Mm. This is all the top part of your map is all built for you, and then you are given the you have to basically deploy your bases.
Yeah, I just deployed 3 bases amongst. Yep. The rest of the stuff I had already, and now I can build other stuff. I have
so now in this menu, this is where,
and then I have energy as well that I need, I guess, to construct stuff. And now yep. I can build a dummy base so the enemy will attack something else instead of my real bases. Because once the 3 bases are done, I'm done.
That's you done. Yeah. Now, your missiles, if you like, they're one shot done if you're launching attack. That's okay. But your anti air, they'll just keep firing. So yep. When you get like an enemy wave of missiles come in, it seems quite random. Sometimes they'll take the missiles out. Sometimes they'll miss. Normally an enemy wave consists of couple of missiles, and then you'll get a mech land. And then it's down to your guns basically then to destroy the enemy mechs. And you're obviously doing the same to the enemy. And as you launch an attack on the enemy, you'll get to see more and more of their map, and you'll figure out where all their bases are and where.
So I'm attacking right now. You can see my missiles flying and hitting nothing at all. But one of them hit something. Oh, and I've sent in a bomber as well. I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So the units that I'm attacking with, do they correspond to the buildings that I've built, or? I mean, I see I just deployed a single metal marine, but I can't see him fighting right now. Is he?
I don't think you've put that mech on the enemy area, Mads. I think you've put that mech on your own land.
What? I just pressed, attack.
Yeah, but I think you choose where to attack.
No.
At the moment. Oh, hang on. So we've got an enemy attack coming in now.
Yep. I think that
was the enemy attacking you. Okay. Not you attacking the enemy.
It didn't really communicate that very well, did it?
No, it is all a little bit. It is a little bit clumsy.
It seems my anti-aircraft is working quite well.
Yeah, they're taking those missiles out.
But the metal marines are being deployed, so I'm probably in trouble. I'll see. So I can do nothing here, right? I'm just spectating, right?
And because we're right at the start, obviously the AI is a little bit more forgiving, so they don't go straight in for your bases. They'll go in for like your gun turrets and stuff like that first.
So you're thinking this is part of my base?
This is your base that's being destroyed now.
But why can't I only see? I can't see where it is. Really.
I'm sure it is. So if you want to launch an attack,
yeah, I'll try that. Attack. Attack. So now I should be like, oh, okay.
Now this is it. So now you're choosing. So then you choose what to attack, what to launch. So M is missiles.
Yeah.
Your mech is obviously your little robo bit. So you want missiles and your mech basically. Mm. But what you don't want to do is use your front missiles, because then you'll have nothing protecting the stuff coming in. So use your back missiles first, and then take a couple of mechs as well.
So you can see. Now I'm like this. Now I'm
so the left hand. You want to use the left hand missiles first. This is why I don't play RTS games.
The left hand missiles.
No
okay. So there's a missile here. You say.
So M is missile. So select that.
So I'm selecting stuff on the top of the screen right now, mate. Have a look at the red square being moved around. So I can say.
So missile. Click on that, and then does it bring you back? Then click on what you want to. So click M. That's it.
Okay.
And then you're putting a missile in your box, your attack box.
Okay.
But now it's come out. There you are. Now you've put a mech in there, have you?
No, that was just another missile. We'll do a... Where's the Marines? They're there. So probably I can attack now?
Well, it doesn't look like you've got anything in your attack box. You're not actually... There you are. You've just put a mech into your attack box.
Man.
Then go to the right. Move to... Oh, no. You've took it out, Mads.
This control scheme is so annoying.
I think you're being... Are you being attacked now? I think you're being attacked now.
No, I think I'm just being stupid, mate.
Oh,
so let's see. I'm going to pick this guy up. Target that one. And I'm gonna
and then, but you can't see the enemy yet.
How do I target something with the missile?
Right, so select missile.
Yeah, and target this.
There you go. Now come over and then just pick on. No, go to the right, and then tap on a random square. That's it.
Okay.
And you won't see anything until you launch an attack at it.
And am I launching the attack now, or did I just accidentally press? Yes, I am.
No, this is it. You're launching an attack.
Okay.
Here we go.
So I can see learning. This is one of those games where you really need to sit down, read the manual, and figure out what's going on. Probably we should have played the tutorial, mate, because
I'm your tutorial, Mads. You don't need to read.
No. I can see this being fun, but again, I would never play this kind of thing on a console. This is something you want your mouse and keyboard to play.
I know. Do you know what? I've looked at Halo Wars a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I've not had the guts to follow it through. But like I say, I don't play RTS games really. But that's kind of like if ever there was one that's designed for a console, then it's Halo Wars, isn't it?
Mm, yeah.
Well, that's the impression I get anyway.
I think this is going to be the coverage of Metal Marines. I can't really say whether you should play this or not, but it looks intriguing. So
I think there's enough there. If RTS games are your thing,
yeah,
and like I say, they're not mine, but I think there's probably enough there. If probably check it out on the PC though, isn't it? Where you've got the mouse and you click in the, you know, that far better control scheme for it, isn't it?
Yeah. So moving on, we are going on to a true classic, of course, probably the most well-known game on this cartridge, of course, Pac-Man. And Pac-Man, the NES port of Pac-Man is actually quite good. So this is good fun. This is the NES port, isn't it? Or is it?
Another NES port. Yeah. But again, it's another good port. It's all here, the sounds and.
Yeah.
I know it's only a very basic sort of color palette, but it's all there. It's all accurate.
So let's just read this. It's Pac-Man, one of the first true icons of gaming. Gobble up all of the Pac dots on each stage to clear it, but watch out for the four ghosts that are hot on Pac-Man's trail. Avoid them with careful cornering and clever planning, or grab a power pellet to temporarily turn the tables on your enemies and eat them. Use the warp tunnel at the sides of the maze for a quick escape, and make sure to gobble up any extra treats that appear near the center. Pac-Man is one of the most successful games in history, and its challenging, tense gameplay is as satisfying today as it was back in 1980. This 8-bit version captures all the thrills of the arcade original, whether you're looking for a quick snack or a 5-course meal.
Oh, I like it!
Now, Pac-Man is, of course, a classic. I must say, Pac-Man is one of those games where I wouldn't be playing this version, mainly because you need a four-way stick to play this and not a D-pad.
Yeah.
So I find it very, very painful to play this on any controller, on any D-pad controller. This needs to have a stick. So, yeah. I think
they've taken that into account, though. It does feel a little bit easier than the arcade game.
I feel, at least in the beginning, the ghosts are moving really, really slowly. So maybe they have tweaked it a bit. So, but you could do that with the dip switch settings on the arcade board as well, of course.
Yes.
But yeah, look at this. I'm just flailing around here because I can't figure out whether I'm going left or right with this D-pad playing this game. So it's, of course, a classic and a wonderful game. And if you have this cartridge, you'll probably play a bit of Pac-Man. But do pick it up, the actual arcade version, or play the NES version for that matter. But play it with an arcade stick.
Yeah. Again, this is another one. This is definitely on the arcade archives. pretty sure. And there's a Namco arcade collection. I think that's probably been released on every console that's ever been made.
Yep.
where it's got the arcade ROMs and everything.
Yeah, it's a beauty of a game. I love Pac-Man, always have. And we played the Pac-Man Championship Edition D-Make, or whatever you want to call it, for the NES lately in the high school challenge. That was one of the best games I played in a long
I'd never even heard of that, obviously. Mm. It was a game that didn't come out back in the day. It was a later game, I believe.
It was. Again, I played that on an emulator, not using a stick actually, but using the keyboard. That was a lot better.
A keyboard
or an arcade stick is what you want for playing stuff like Pac-Man.
Yeah.
For my money, at least. So.
But the colours and everything in that, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it was running on an NES.
No, true. Wonderful.
Yeah, really, really impressive that.
I mean, there's not much more we can say about this game, is there? It's Pac-Man. Everybody knows it, so...
It's another one of those soundtracks, isn't it? Classic game. I think if I was going to pick this or a Mrs. Pac-Man, I'd probably pump for a Mrs. Pac-Man. But
yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, me too. I do prefer Mrs. Pac-Man, yeah. So we got the little cutscene.
But again, massive on release. Obviously... huge back in 1980, came to the NES 3 years later, so 83.
Pac-Man was released on any platform ever made, so but this NES port is actually quite capable, isn't it? It's quite good, but just a bit hard with the D-pad.
And monsters or ghosts, Mads?
What? Once again?
Are they monsters or ghosts?
They're ghosts, aren't they?
They're ghosts, of course they are.
Yeah, who says they're monsters?
People. Oh, right. People do say they're monsters.
Okay. Oh, they're ghosts. They're Inky, Binky, Blinky, and Clyde, right?
Clyde, that's it.
Yeah. Oh, great game. That even though I say it's not fun with a D-pad, I'm playing it here and having a great time. I can't really stop myself, so I'm going to stop now. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, and annoyingly, like say, you can't play this on like the VS. So obviously on the VS you could plug in an arcade stick.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Or another controller.
Such a shame that this cartridge is tied to the handhelds. I'm guessing it works on the EXP as well, and not just the original Evercade. But because of some licensing issues, it only works on the handheld.
Yeah.
But this handheld is actually quite impressive. If you look at the little indicator in the top left corner, you can see that the battery is still full. We've been streaming for more than an hour, I think, and it's feeding a signal over HDMI, and it's still full. So it's kind of impressive.
Yeah. So it's worth saying, isn't it? I suppose that even though you can't play this car on the VS, you can plug in a mini HDMI, plug that into your TV,
and use
the Evercade as a controller.
But of course, then you have to use the Evercade as the controller if you want to play these games with an arcade stick. Well, that's not really an option. So,
yeah.
Now you're making me think about that Evercade Alpha again. I really want that. Next game, mate.
Well,
next
I suppose it won't work on the Alpha, will it?
No, it won't. I guess that doesn't classify as a I don't know. It's a one in all thing with a screen.
It's a handheld, isn't it? It's portable.
Yeah, it is portable. Yeah, good question.
There you are. If you've got an Alpha, let us know.
Yeah, I'd love to know. We'll have to ask Martin actually. He might know that. So on to the next game, which is called Quad Challenge. I'm gonna read this again. Settled on a high performance all terrain vehicle, you hear the roar of racing engines and scan the brutal dirt track ahead. The unforgiving clock counts down and you explode from the gate, slam into high gear and torque up to blistering speed. Hit ramps and take to the air, throttle down to soften your landing. Challenge a computer-controlled rival or compete head-to-head against a buddy. Choose from 9 twisting racetracks on practice mode. Ride on one of 4 vehicles, each with unique characteristics. Play the Circuit Championship, a 16-track rough-and-rumble race to glory. So again, this is a bit of a shame that you can only play the handheld version, because then you can't actually play two-player, which I guess is supported, as says here. But let's have a look at the game.
Yeah, so this was released in the arcade as 4 tracks. it was called.
Yeah.
Four tracks in the arcade.
Okay.
In 1989. And then this is the Mega Drive version. And that was released onto the Mega Drive in 91.
Yeah. This is the only Mega Drive game on this cartridge, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, all of the others are NES and then a few SNES games.
Yeah. But although it is obviously an arcade game, that soundtrack is so Mega Drive. Mm. So Mega Drive. When it kicks in, you can hear it. I don't know if it's going to come over quite that loud on the recording, but when you hear it, it's so Mega Drive.
Mm.
You know, that sort of dang, dang, that like guitar-y sort of electronic, that Yamaha sound chip.
Looking at it though, mate, this doesn't look like a Mega Drive game.
It doesn't look like a Mega Drive game, though.
My C64 would be ashamed of this.
I tell you what, though, if you get to the next level, mate, where you race around New York.
Yeah.
Because that's got a lovely little background there. You've got all, like, the Twin Towers there, the Statue of Liberty is there.
So I'll probably not get to the second level because, as you just saw, I'm not really good at playing these racing games, and I forgot to put it into high gear. But
So it's one-on-one racing. You're only racing one other person. You've got your little map down the right-hand side, and it is really, really forgiving. Like, you've almost caught him up already.
Yeah. You got to remember to let go. Again, all of these little descriptions that I'm reading out actually have good, valuable advice. So in this game, you need to let go of the speeder while you're...
Hit the jumps.
Yeah, when you hit the jumps, because then he'll land better. I'm not sure why, but that's just how it works in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously, remember, if you do have a crash, it will leave you in high gear. It won't drop you back down to low gear.
Nope, true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a horrible game, isn't it? I mean,
It's not great.
It looks bad, really bad for a Mega Drive. I mean, this is a disgrace for the Mega Drive. But it controls even worse. So.
But then I think, technically, when you're looking at it, it's running two screens, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's running about two frames a second as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the next level, when you're driving around New York, I thought that was quite impressive. Okay. The little backgrounds with the Manhattan Bridge and all that.
I'll see if I get there. Let's see. But I probably won't.
I don't know if you will, Maz. You need to pull your finger out a little bit.
So Matt is going to be watching this and he's going to be screaming at me because I'm so lousy at this. But
that's a big jump. That we need to draft. we need to draft Matt in for the racing games.
Then. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Be a good idea.
Yeah.
But nobody wanted to join us today, so it's just you and me, buddy.
I think there's quite a few racing games on some of the later ones. You know, the Data East. There's a couple of racing games on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The Jalico arcade games, there's got a couple of, you know, these old sort of isometric racing games.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not much more I can say about this game.
Not really. I think we could be here all night waiting for you to get first place.
Yeah, I think you may be right, actually. This is, This is not...
But if you've got the cartridge, get to level 2. Check out the New York skyline.
I will never get there. I will never get there. Okay, goodbye.
You could use save states, Mads. If you get first place, then use a save state.
But I'll never get first place, mate.
Save state your way around the race.
Sometimes save states aren't enough because there's just not enough skill. So.
This is it.
Let's move on to something very, very much different.
Star Luster.
This version is from 1985. And I'll just read the little text here. An other dimensional being known as Bachura is extending its sinister reach across the galaxy. Its final conquest, the Milky Way. After a massive battle with Bachura, only one pilot remains. That pilot is you. Hop into the starfighter Gaia and take the fight to Bachura's base in the Green Star constellation. If you fail in your mission, the universe will fail. Good luck. Although largely unappreciated in its time, Star Luster has seen its esteem rise over the years thanks to its deep, compelling gameplay. After choosing a game mode, you're presented with a map showing bases, enemies, planets, and asteroid fields. In training and command modes, your goal is to eliminate all of the enemy squadrons and protect the bases and planets. Select an enemy on the map and press the warp button to move to it, or a proton torpedo to destroy it. After encountering an enemy squadron, use your lasers to destroy every target. Watch your energy. If it gets low, head to a base and dock with it to refuel. Adventure mode has a slightly different goal. You need to collect 7 keys from the various planets, take them to Earth to find the Bachelor's location, and then search the sector to find the invisible planet. Defeat the forces stationed there, and you'll have finally saved the universe once and for all. So there's lots and lots of information again in this little text.
Lots to take in with this one, isn't there? So it'll bring up 2 modes.
Yeah. So there's training.
Command and adventure.
Command and adventure, yes.
So command is the arcade mode, if you like.
Let's try that then.
Yeah.
So first mission says destroy all enemies and defend the universe. And I'm flying in a spaceship, right?
Yeah. So in adventure mode, you would have to fly off. I think you have to get so many keys, bring them back to your base. In this one, you've got your little cross here. You'd fly it over to E, which is enemy.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you warp over there, and then you'll get another sort of screen will appear. Mm-hmm. And then you've got enemies flying towards you. Somehow more basic version of Star Wars, something like Star Wars Arcade.
Yeah, but it feels a lot like Star Wars Arcade,
it's the vectors, isn't it, in Star Wars. Those vectors just pop and it looks so lush and amazing.
So in this arcade mode, as Jim just said, you have 2 modes. First is that you're looking for some action. So you have this little mini-map where you move your little crossover and you select somewhere you want to fly to. And if there's an E there, there'll be a squadron of enemies that you need to dispatch of. And if there are some other letters as well. What were they? Can you remind me while I'm playing this game?
Yeah, so there's a wave of enemies. When you get to the E, there's like 2 or 3 waves of enemies. Each wave gets gradually more difficult for you to hit the enemy ships. They move and dart around the screen like you wouldn't believe. It almost feels like maybe it'd be better with like a trackball or something like that, so you could move that cross here a lot quicker.
But I like the level of detail here because you have a mini map where you can see where the enemies are and zoom on over there. But as you see, I've not been doing too well, so I've been hit. So my radar was damaged, and that because of that, I couldn't use the radar anymore. I had to just fly blindly around, see if I can find them. And they have these 3 different subsystems of your ship that can be damaged, which actually has an impact on how you play the game. And I kind of like that, even though this time I was really, really bad at it. I'm just going to have one more go.
And if you fly over to the bases...
Yeah, let's try base then.
So if you fly over to the base, I'll see if they remind you of anything. I don't know if you'll have played the arcade game. We'll see.
Flying over to the base now.
So normally, if you beat that wave, then your energy's down and your shield. You'd fly over to a base and you can recharge your shield. And let's see if when you get there, let's see if it reminds you of anything.
Let's see. I'm just going to try to get it into range here with my radar.
So here it comes. It comes into view on your little radar.
Yep.
I really, like I say, I do really like the little, there's a little cockpit. Radar okay, comms okay, engines okay. Yep. Do you know what I mean? I like it.
Me too. I've always been a sucker for these space fight games, like playing X-Wing back on my DOS PC back in the day. But I can't find the base.
You have to warp to it. It'll come into view. We'll see if you get there. But basically, this shares the same universe as an arcade game called Bosconian.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, Chris won't like this, but I'd say go and play Bosconian instead.
Mm.
Chris isn't a fan of that one.
So I'm just going to speed up here, see if we can find the base.
But basically, when you get to the base, it will be one of the little ships from Bosconian.
Okay, nice.
The ones that you have to blow up.
Yeah. So I'm speeding my way through space here. You can hold down the B button to set up, to speed up here. Oh, now I'm actually flying so fast, I may just have passed
you've
the base.
Just, yeah, gone past it. And you've got up and down, remember,
there
as well.
It is.
So you could... There it is.
Yeah.
You see?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like one of those little bases from Bosconia.
Nice. And you can land on that.
You can. I wasn't able to figure out how to do it, but that's where you do it.
Okay. I'm going to try to shoot it, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't
because matter. It was at this point where I thought, oh, do you know what? I'll play Bosconian instead. I'll play Bosconian or play Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars does the shooting better for me, anyway.
So if it says base log on now, so maybe I'm supposed to.
And there you go. So this must be it.
That's it. So now I'm actually refueling.
You got a little refueling drone fly out.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Shields powered up, and now I can select flying out to shoot an enemy instead.
So yeah, I mean, you could.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. I'm not sure how well it'd work as an arcade game. So this only ever got a Famicom release as well. Back in '85, it never got a UK release, from what I could see.
Okay.
Just Famicom.
Yeah.
But as an arcade game, I mean, if you got good at this, you could just. With the refuels and everything, you could just sit on this forever.
Yeah.
I presume there must be some sort of timer on the arcade version to stop that from happening.
Yeah, must be. No, but this is quite good, actually. You need to control both the shooting and, I mean, you're flying around in space, so lots of freedom of movement here. But you
also
need to...
You are still flying around as you're controlling that crosshair, yeah.
Yeah, and you need to control your speed as well to catch up with the enemy. So that's on the B button here on the controller. So yeah, actually quite good fun. This is something I could definitely see myself playing a bit more of, and trying to see what happens if I clear the enemy, the screen of enemies, and maybe even try that adventure mode.
Yeah, so that mixes things up a little bit. You're collecting keys before you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you then have to take back to the bases. So I think you collect a key and take it back to a base, and then I think that base then. Is usable once you've got the key for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, this is quite good. The only thing I miss a bit is, being able to use some chaff or something like that to get rid of the enemy fire, because you can't shoot the enemy projectiles that are coming at you.
Yeah.
You have to try to avoid them. And doing that...
I do think this would be, something like this would be ripe for like a modern remake, where you've got a bit more feedback in terms of flying through space and sort of now and flying that ship.
I think
maybe it's just a little bit too
basic for
too
you.
Basic, yeah. Yeah, but I think in terms of an idea of a game, I think it's a solid idea. It's a good idea for the game. It just doesn't quite capture it. I think it'd be ripe for like a remake.
Not a bad shot, mate. So, ready to move on. That's probably the final game now, isn't it?
It is. We're into the, another shoot-em-up.
Another
shoot-em-up,
and a good one at that. So,
it is a very good one. Very early shoot-em-up.
So, Sevius, this version, is that the NES version as well, mate?
It is the NES version.
So, that's from 1988?
Yeah, 82 in the arcade, so a good 6 years after.
Yeah.
After the arcade release.
So it says, pilot the sophisticated combat aircraft Solvalu in a battle for the Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Solvalu. In a battle for the Earth against the forces of the evil supercomputer GAMP. Fly through 16 stages of white-knuckle action, soaring over land and sea en route to the final epic battle. Blast enemy squadrons out of the sky with your lasers and take out ground targets with your bombs. In this intense battle, the slightest mistake will cost you your life and the Earth its freedom. Go forth, Solvalu, and save us all. Sevius captured the imagination of players when it first released, with its large boss enemies and detailed scrolling landscapes. This 8-bit version brought the arcade home with all of its thrilling gameplay intact. Have you got what it takes to defeat GAMP? Not sure, but I will give it a shot.
Give it a go.
Yeah.
Give it a go. So Namco Arcade System hardware. Namco Galaga Arcade System. I love Sevius.
Yeah, me too.
I do now. Again, it was one of these before playing it so much with this car, it was one of those ones I fired it up. Oh, God, this is a bit tough. And then a bit tough, a little bit sort of basic. I struggled with using...
I love these shooters where you have two different... I mean, you have a weapon for the air-to-air thing, and you have a weapon for the air-to-ground, the cannons and stuff later on. So for the people listening, this is a basic scrolling horizontally Vertical shoot 'em up. Yeah. But you have a crosshair in front of you, and that is where you can drop your missiles or bombs, of course, using the secondary button. So you hold down the A button to shoot your cannon or whatever it is, your air-to-air missiles, and then you use the B button to drop these bombs to get rid of tanks and cannons and other stuff that's on the ground. And I love this, the level of detail that comes with adding that. A few shooters from back in the day did this, and the CVS was probably one of the very first ones. I've always loved this one. And I know it's kind of basic, isn't it? I mean, looking at it, but it's... I like this version for the NES. It looks the part, for my money at least.
Yeah, so I thought this was a really sort of good, accurate port of the arcade game until you get to the boss. So the first boss, when it comes in, a little way off yet, but it suddenly got the difficulty ramps up. You've got bullets where it feels like maybe the NES is just struggling a little bit with it. And it feels like you've got bullets just sort of popping in. This was one where I've since gone back to the arcade game, and it's now on my favorites list. I've really got into it, enjoyed it.
It's a great game. It's one of those games that actually works okay with a gamepad, I find. NES version works kind of well. But of course, a shooter, like, when it gets really frantic later on, you want a stick to control it with. So already now I'm struggling a bit here with the number of bullets.
Ooh. So these, if you're watching the video feed, obviously you can't, these are like the rotating sort of rectangular square enemies.
Makes me think of Clax.
I can see that.
It's the 90s and there is time for Clax.
All you can do is avoid them. But again, like, when you think NES is doing some nice rotational effects on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And scrolling at the same time.
Yeah, and it's scrolling quite well, isn't it? I mean, it looks just fine. There's no slowdown or anything here. The only thing that's struggling is me.
So. Different enemy ships as well. Yeah. They're not just like all the same enemy ship types. The different ship types that come in.
Mm.
You got, like I say, you got your tanks.
Yeah, this reminds me a lot of different of the good shooters I played on the C64 back in the day, and also in style, but one of the better ones for sure.
Yeah. So again, like, you can see the influences, can't you, in things like Twinbee that obviously came afterwards.
Yeah.
And again, I prefer shooters where you don't have ground targets and air targets.
You do?
I haven't played a bit more of this and put a bit more time into it than I have previously. Yeah. I have got used to it.
I like them. It adds a bit of complexity that's welcome to a shooter, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It very definitely, it makes you think, doesn't it, of, you're not just focus on one enemy type, if you like. You've got other things to think about, but that will catch. So this is the boss that's coming in now.
The first boss here. Let's see if I survive for 2 seconds. Oh,
and this is what I was talking about. It's the bullets just seem to come. It's the black sort of bowling ball type bullets that just sort of pop in. They don't seem to do that in the arcade.
Okay, so it's arcade tougher version. In this version.
Yeah, I think it's a lot tougher in this version. Yeah. So I've got past this first boss. I've got and into like the next sort of areas on the arcade game.
Mm. Yeah, it makes sense, of course, to make the home port a bit tougher because people will have a lot more time and a lot more credits to spend on this. Course, so
And you can just hit those continues, can't you, without chucking 10 P's in.
Yeah.
Again, another one of those iconic soundtracks, though, isn't it? Like,
Man, I only survived like 2 seconds in this boss fight.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, yet another good game. I mean, this has been a good cartridge, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Once I got over that initial disappointment that it was NES ports.
Yeah, for sure.
And not arcade ports. Then, like we said at the start of the episode, having looking at it now retrospectively, I'm kind of glad that they did put these NES ports in because it sort of got you to play another version of a game, whereas, and then check out the arcade game.
Yeah.
You know, Whereas if you just play the arcade game, you're probably not gonna, you're not gonna come to the NES ports here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think another good cart.
Yeah, another solid one. So I'm just gonna recap for anybody's listening. The games that we've been going through are Battle Cars, yeah, Dig Dug, Galaxian, Libble Rabble, Mappy Kits, Metal Marines, Pac-Man, Quad Challenge, Star Luster, and Xevious. So if you had to pick a favorite, mate, which one would that be? Mine is easy. I know which one on this card.
Ooh. Oh, we just got a network error.
We did?
We still, yeah.
So I didn't. We still.
Okay, it's probably on my end then.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, pick a favourite. Oh, it's got to be Mappy, hasn't it? Mappy or Dig Dug, I think.
Yeah, it's easy for me. It's Mappy. I mean, Mappy was such a great surprise for me because I hadn't really spent a lot of time with that before. So, Mappy is such a great game that you can spend hours and hours and hours on. So, yeah, that would be where I spend most of my time on this cartridge. But I mean, can you pick one that surprised you? One that you'd still like to put some more time into?
Yeah, so like Xevious surprised me. Like I say, it's one that I've not really put a lot of time into it previously, and then I've got it now favorited on the arcade, and that's one I'm definitely going to go back to. Dig Dug, again, I've always preferred Mr. Do.
Yeah.
I think probably in retrospect, it's probably just not giving Dig Dug enough time. Once I did, I really, really, really got into Dig Dug. It was really, but Libble Rabble.
Yeah.
Again, I think there's a good game in there. It just needs the bit of brain work to sort of get yourself around those controls.
I'm not sure my brain works probably for Libble Rabble. I'd like to learn it, but I mean that coordination with the controlling two things completely separately as if you had two D-pads.
Yeah,
it would work with two joysticks for me, but two D-pads, it's so hard.
Yeah, the annoying thing is, so I leave my arcade cab with a vertical monitor, and then any sort of horizontal games, I try to play them on my CRT with the Mister. So if I was going to play this on the cab with the twin sticks like it was designed to, I'd have to swap the monitor around, which is a bit of a faff, really.
Yep.
But it's one I don't remember seeing it in like Arcade Club or anything like that. I don't remember seeing a Libble Rabble cab.
No, it's not one I've ever seen as well. So the surprise for me would actually be Star Luster. I'm intrigued by that. I want to try the arcade mode and spend a little bit more time with that. So that's going on my to play later list for sure on the Evercade.
Yeah, another one. I think there's a decent game in there, Star Luster.
Perhaps
it took
I can
me a long time
this,
just to work out what to do with it, to be honest. But
yeah, perhaps I can play it this Christmas on my Evercade Alpha that I'm probably going to end up buying for myself anyway. So.
Yeah, which one would you go for out of the two?
The Mega Man.
It's a Mega Man and a Street Fighter, isn't there?
Mega Man for sure. Nobody likes Street Fighter, so.
Really?
you know my stance on one-on-one.
Of course, yeah.
I hate them.
Yeah, so I'd be on the Street Fighter cab, definitely.
I'm just teasing. Yeah. They're both really, really cool. I love the artwork. I wish there was something else because Mega Man doesn't belong on an arcade cap.
No, it doesn't feel like an arcade cap.
And Street Fighter, I don't like the look of the Street Fighter caps, the originals, which they've tried to replicate somewhat, of course. So I don't like that artwork. So for me, the perfect would have been if they had a bubble themed one or something like that.
Better. Which
or,
they
or
may
some of the
do,
old
but
like Galaxian or just give me a Space Invaders cap, something like that. That would be great.
Yeah, but when you think as well, they're obviously got a deal with Capcom, obviously, for the Mega Man and the Street Fighter games. When you think of those classic Capcom CPS games, that kind of feels like they've missed a trick making a Mega. To me, anyway, it feels like they've missed a trick making
Mega Man. Mega Man just feels wrong. I mean, that doesn't belong in an arcade. So it feels wrong to have a Mega Man arcade cap, but that would be the one I would go for.
Yeah.
But here's hoping they'll put some more different artworks out for that later on. I mean, have more versions. That'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe. I think they'll probably just wait and see how these sell, won't they? But yeah, like a Taito one. I mean, there's loads they could do with it.
Yeah.
Namco, again, Konami. I mean, those early Konami games, Scramble and all that sort of stuff, that sort of era, fantastic, amazing arcade games, those early Konami games.
Yeah, for sure. So, mate, we made it all the way through.
We did.
Yeah.
Another cart down.
Another cart down. And what's the next one, then?
Another one in the rearview mirror, as they say. The next one is Evercade 3, which is Data East Collection 1.
Ah, yes. So
we're still on that initial batch of carts that were bundled in if you got the original Evercade. But that's got some good games on it. Again, they're not arcade ports. Some of these are like NES ports and that. Mm. But we got Burger Time.
Oh, classic.
I think we've already had that as a high score challenge. It was a Game Club game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think
it was
a
Game Club game, Burger Time. Bad Dudes.
Oh,
Burning Rubber.
So actually, I'm one of the few people who actually kind of like Bad Dudes as well.
Do you? Yeah. So this is the NES version of Bad Dudes.
I never tried that. I only played the arcade version. So.
Yeah. Oh, good luck with that one. it's a little bit rough. Around the edges. But Two Crude Dudes, that's the Super Nintendo follow-up, so that's a little bit...
Okay.
Doesn't quite get to Final Fight, but it's a little bit better.
Mm.
Fighter's History.
Yeah.
Karate Champ, so that's an early sort of one-on-one fighter.
Yeah.
Joe and Mac 2.
Oh, Joe and Mac, Caveman
Joe
Ninja.
Joe and Mac 2, yeah.
I've never played the NES version, but I loved Joe and Mac in the arcade.
I had a little go of this one a couple of months back. Really, really good game. Mm. And I can see myself, this will be another one that I probably sink far too much time into. Magical Drop 2. Mm. Midnight Resistance, which is obviously famous game.
Yes, do they have the great Mega Drive port then?
No, it's not. I believe it's the NES port. Let me just confirm that.
The Mega Drive version of Midnight Resistance is beautiful. It's great.
89, and it looks like the NES version on the screenshot.
That's a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but that would be a great card as well. I have a problem with it, though, because I don't have that card, and I couldn't find it anywhere anymore, so I'm going to have to see if I can find a used copy somewhere so we can stream it, because, of course, we are streaming this from the actual Evercade, from the real hardware, so we need the physical cards. I'll see if I believe I did order one like 2 months ago, and they still haven't shipped it, so there's still hope. Maybe it is actually, it does exist, but I'm actually thinking it's probably just a mistake in their system that they thought they had a copy.
Chris is saying in the chat that he thinks it's the Mega Drive port of Midnight Resistance.
Okay, that'd be great, because that's really good.
Yeah. And Side Pocket is there as well as the final game. A lovely, lovely little game, that Side Pocket. So, again, check out the Discord channel. One of these, we'll bang our heads together, and one of these will be the high score game while we're covering the cartridge.
Yeah. So, I made a mistake here, and I'm going to fall down again at the same point in Mappy. But, oh well. I'll stop playing now. This was good fun, mate.
It was.
I hope the listeners can bear with us and have fun as well. And if you thought this was really not for you, a podcast where we are talking about stuff, we try not to, but we are still talking about stuff that's on the screen, go check out the video version if you like. We'll put that on YouTube as soon as we're done here. And I guess it's on Twitch for a little while as well. I mean, I'm so old.
So I think it stays on Twitch for a few days, and then you can highlight from it. And then the highlights will stay on Twitch indefinitely.
Okay.
But we can just download it and stick it up on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, we will do.
I can't imagine there'll be much to do with the edit, if anything. So it'll probably be dropping as soon as we've got a cover, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. We are officially on to Data East.
Yeah, we'll need to pick a high score challenge game for that, of course. So maybe that's what you need to follow up Jetpack with. High score game from the Data East collection.
We could tie them both in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We could definitely tie them both in. Because I imagine we'll be recording maybe this in the new year, maybe?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I need to get my hands, as I said, on a copy of the card first. So.
Yes. yeah.
All good.
So Mads, any shout-outs before we wrap up?
So shout-outs to all of the many people who did not want to join us tonight. So shout-outs to Dean and Matt and Mark and Steve and Chris and all of the people who we asked if they wanted to come play with us and they said, nah, can't be bothered. And that's it. I think I'm all shouted out. Shout out to Andy. I hope he's enjoying Outer Wilds.
That's going to be making for an interesting recording, isn't it?
It will, of course, it will.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to finish it.
Of course you are, mate. Of course you are.
I don't know.
It is hands down one of the best gaming experiences I've ever had. It's so good. More on that later on.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And I'll just have a quick shout out. So if anyone's wanted to go into the history of Namco, there's a really, really good They Create Worlds podcast episode. It's one of the earlier ones I listened to a while ago now. But that delves into like Namco right the way through to where they obviously got bought by Bandai. So from when it was founded in the 50s, and as was it Nakamura Manufacturing, all the way through to when they became Bandai Namco. So yeah, go check that out. They Create Worlds, and then there was
so that's Alex's podcast, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, and then there was a music album as well that covers not only just the games that we've covered. It covers all Namco arcade games. But like I say, these games, they've got such iconic soundtracks. And there's a composer, the album's by Harumi Hosono. I've probably absolutely butchered that pronunciation. we needed Chris in, didn't we? He's learning Japanese.
Yeah, true.
So the album's called Video Game Music. I couldn't find it on like Spotify, but if you go onto YouTube and do a search for video game music, and it's basically an arrangement of all the Namco games that we've covered, plus loads of others, and yeah, it's really, really good. Really good little album to listen to.
Good shout.
Yeah. And that's me, mate. I am shouted out.
Well, I hope everybody was entertained, and we'll be back soon. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Rental Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in a fantasy zone.